Well, good morning.
If you would care to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12, our lesson this morning will be taken from Matthew chapter 12. Before we begin, let's look to our Lord in prayer. Our Father, we bow in your presence this morning. We bow humbly. We bow daring only come into your thrice holy presence in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We bow, pleading his obedience as the only righteousness that we have. We bow, pleading the blood of Christ as the only hope that we have of the forgiveness and the cleansing of our sin. We bow, begging that you would not see us or hear us in ourselves, but that you would see us and hear us in our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we're thankful to know from your word that we'll be accepted in the Beloved for Christ's sake. And we're thankful. And Father, I pray this morning that everything that is said and done here in this service this morning be done to the praise and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us see the glory of Christ our Savior. And Father, I beg of you that you give us faith to see him, and to believe him, and to rest in him. If, as of right at this moment, we do not know Christ, we have not yet believed him, Father, make us know him this morning. Give us the faith to believe him this morning. Father, we thank you for your many, many blessings to your people. How richly that you have blessed us. And we especially thank you for the spiritual blessings that are found in our Lord Jesus Christ, that you've given us absolutely everything that we need and everything that you require in him. And Father, we're thankful. We pray that you would forgive us for the times we have a bad attitude, that we act like ourselves. Father, forgive us, we pray. Now, all these things we ask, and that great name, that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, I've titled the lesson this morning, Religion Without Christ. Now, the Lord, and our text begins in verse 43, but in verse 43, the Lord is still answering this accusation that was brought against him in verse 24. But Matthew 12, verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And you remember the Lord answered their accusation by showing their accusation goes against all logic. Even human logic shows that their accusation is completely ridiculous. The Lord taught us that a house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan is casting out Satan, then Satan is going to quickly destroy his own kingdom. He's not doing that. Then in last week's lesson, the Lord called these religious leaders an evil and an adulterous generation. Now, they were very religious. Their whole world centered around their religion. They were very religious. These men were religious leaders, but the Lord said they're evil. Their religion is evil because it is religion without Christ. Now, the Lord refers back to this accusation. He's casting out devils by the power of Satan, and he gives us a picture of what he's been talking about. He gives us a picture so that we see what religion without Christ looks like. And here's the first thing. When you have religion without Christ, there's no change of masters. You're still your own master. Verse 43. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Now, a person without Christ, they're possessed of an unclean spirit. That's right. They have to either be possessed by Christ or by the devil, by the prince of the power there. One or the other. A person without Christ is possessed of an unclean spirit. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean being demon-possessed. Could be so, but it certainly means this. It means being controlled by our own sin nature. That's an evil nature, isn't it? It's an unclean nature. Our nature is an unclean, sinful nature. And that's the nature that controls us unless the Lord saves us and he rules in the heart. Now here, the unclean spirit just leaves this person of his own accord. The unclean spirit's not cast out. He's not cast out by a stronger power, made to leave. Now, he just leaves of his own accord. He leaves because he wants a change of scenery. He leaves because he wants a vacation. He leaves because he wants to see what else is out there or whatever, but he's not being cast out. He just leaves of his own accord. And if you and I are to be saved, the Lord has to come in power and take possession of our heart. He has to set up his throne and rule and reign in our heart. And that's not happened here. In verse 44, the unclean spirit still calls this person my house. The unclean spirit's still in control of that person. He's just left for a time of his own accord. And that's religion without Christ. A religious person can go through a lot of religious activity. They can go through a lot of religious ceremony, but none of that is serving the Lord. None of that is worshiping God because there's been no change of masters. There's no new heart. And until the Lord saves us, until he takes possession of us, you and I are walking according to the prince of the power of the air. We are the children of wrath and the children of disobedience, even as others. That's true no matter how outwardly religious we are. And we see that in our second point. When you have religion without Christ, all you have is an outward reformation. Look at verse 44. Then he saith, I will return into my house. It's my house. I still own it. I'm still in control of it from whence I came out. And when he's come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Now, with an unclean spirit, he's left this person for a while, left voluntarily. And then he comes back whenever he wants to. And he finds that while he's been gone, this person has made a few changes in himself. He's cleaned up his act. He's swept himself clean of what the world calls sin. Now you notice he swept the house. He hasn't cleansed it. All he's done is swept the house. He'd gotten rid of a few bad habits, but he hasn't got rid of sin. He's not been cleansed from sin. There has been an outward cleaning, but there's no inward life. There's been no new life given from above. He swept himself. He's cleaned up his act a little bit, and he's garnished himself. He's decorated himself. He's gotten him some nice new religious trinkets, and he's put them up around the house. He's got a cross he's put up on the wall. Maybe he wears a cross around his neck. He's put the Ten Commandments up on the wall. He's got a picture of this long-haired hippie he's put up on the wall that's supposed to be this man Jesus. He's got some decorations. He's garnished the house. He's redecorated. And it makes him feel real good about himself because it makes him feel real religious to have these trinkets up reminding him of his religion. And his neighbors think, this man's got some religion. He's religious now. But all that's gone on is redecorating. There's not been any regenerating. All that's gone on is redecorating. He's put some decorations up, but God, the Holy Spirit, hasn't given him any life. He's put some new trinkets up on the walls, but he doesn't have a new heart. All it is like putting flowers on the outside of a grave. You can decorate the outside all you want, but we all know what's in the inside. He's just redecorated. There's been no change of nature, no new birth. And by nature, people think that's the goal. They think cleaning up the outside, cleaning up our act, cleaning up, making ourselves look better before men, they think that's the goal. And when we clean up our act, and that's all we do, just clean up the outside, that's religion without Christ. It's religion with no life. And the Lord told us about that. Look over at Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. See, here's what you get when all you do is clean up the outside and leave the inside alone. You've got religion without Christ. You've got religion without life. Look here at Matthew chapter 23, verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which was within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, whited graves, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. That's what you get when you have religion without Christ. It's an outward reformation, but within. In the heart where God looks, in the heart where God deals with people, you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Now that is what the Jews try to do. By following the law, by their legalistic religion, following the law, following the ceremonies, all they did is clean up the outside. And false religion is still trying to do the same thing today. They're trying to get people to clean up the outside and make their life appear better. The Apostle Paul called that having a zeal of God. It's having a zeal of God. It's having a zeal of some religion. But it's not according to knowledge. That is not how God saves sinners. That is not religion with Christ. That is not union with Christ. There is no knowledge of God there. And you know why? Because God hadn't given a new heart. God hadn't given a new mind, which is the mind of Christ, that will know Christ and believe Him and trust Him. So the house here is decorated. The man swept it. He's decorated it. But the Lord said it's still empty. It's still empty. That unclean spirit comes back and finds it's still empty. It's empty of Christ. It's empty of life. It's empty of righteousness. Oh, there's a lot of religious activity going on. There's a lot of scurrying around going on. There's been some redecorating, but there's no life there because there's been no regeneration. And that's a good warning to us. Don't ever mistake religious decorations for spiritual life. The house was still empty. All right, here's the third thing. And Lord's already showed us this about when all you have, you cleaned up the outside, the inside's still full of iniquity and filth. When you have religion without Christ, I tell you what you've got. You've got wickedness. It's not, oh, well, it's good this person's got religion and it's good they start acting better. When you've got religion without Christ, you've got wickedness. That's right, verse 45, Matthew chapter 12. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Now this poor man, he's cleaned up his act. He's got some religion. He's put some religious decorations up. But you know what? When the unclean spirit came back, the unclean spirit liked it. Did you notice that? This man got him some religion and the unclean spirit liked it. All that show of religion didn't drive the unclean spirit away at all. He liked it. Instead, all this show of religion, these decorations, instead of driving that unclean spirit away, that unclean spirit was so comfortable in that show of religion, he went and invited seven other unclean spirits to come live there too. This show of religion drew the unclean spirit to the man. Didn't drive him away from him. And a person who has a legalistic religion, who has a show of religion, you know that makes the unclean spirit comfortable to be there. The unclean spirit's glad to see it. The person who makes a big show of public religion, a big show of public morality, that doesn't make unclean spirits uncomfortable. It makes them comfortable and draws those unclean spirits to him. See, the unclean spirit saw this. He saw the man cleaned up, swept up. He saw these religious decorations up, and he said, I can work with this. Now, this is something I can work with. And now, that unclean spirit has got a foothold in religion. In religion. See, the man didn't have religion before. Now he's got religion, and he takes that unclean spirit with him to those religious meetings. And now that unclean spirit's got a foothold in religion. Now the unclean spirit says, I can use this man to cause some trouble. I can use this man to sow discord. I can use this man to take the attention away from Christ and put the attention upon the flesh. Now I can cause division. Now I can use this man to entertain sinners on their way to hell. This man who got religion gave the unclean spirit a foothold in religion. That's a pretty serious warning, isn't it? Now, we've been warned about this before. Satan doesn't work in the bars and brothels and flop houses and what we call the dens of iniquity. That's not where Satan's working. Those people there aren't thinking about Christ. There's no battle for Satan there. There's nothing for him to do there. There's no battle. They're not thinking about Christ. The battle for Satan is where the name of Christ is used. Satan battles everywhere the name of Christ is used. And here's his battle: to get people's attention off of Christ. And he'll do anything to do it. Just anything to get people's attention off of Christ. One of the biggest ways that Satan does that, gets people's attention off of Christ, is by getting the attention put on quote-unquote good things. Things that we think that are good. Satan gets the attention on obeying the law. Now, we ought to obey the law, but it gets people's attention on obeying the law instead of trusting Christ to keep the law for us. Satan gets the attention on us looking good before men, being upright people, being moral. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. We ought to be moral people, shouldn't we? But when we get our attention on our morality, we take our attention off of Christ. And when we do that, when anything comes up that gets our attention off of Christ, that gets our attention off of the glory of Christ, that gets our attention on something that that we think is a big deal, and get our attention off of Christ, we have helped Satan win the day. Now you think of that. Anything we do to get our attention off of Christ causes Satan to win the day. And Satan, now he can use that person in the church. Maybe he makes them fight for their rights. I ought to be treated better, instead of submitting to Christ and his righteousness, instead of submitting to God's authority. Now there's division in the church. We've gotten our attention off of Christ, and Satan's won the day. And you be warned. Be warned. Don't think Satan wouldn't use you or wouldn't use me to do this. Satan will use anything to get our attention off of Christ. This is where the battle is for Satan. The last thing he wants is somebody looking to Christ, finding out about Christ and trusting him. Satan will use anything to get our attention off of Christ. Get our attention off of salvation in Christ, righteousness in Christ, grace in Christ, and forgiveness in Christ. That's where the battle is. And if we get our attention off of Christ, Satan's won the day. And our Lord said, when this happens, the unclean spirit goes out and he comes back and he finds this person has gotten religion. The unclean spirit's comfortable, and he invites seven other unclean spirits. And our Lord says the last state of that person, the last state of this person who went and got some religion, is worse than the first. He'd have been better off if he never got any religion whatsoever. And that is true of this whole wicked generation who has religion without Christ. Their last state is worse than their first. It'd have been better off for them to have never gotten any religion whatsoever. If that religion is religion without Christ, they've been better off in the long run without it. Now, I know that is a frightening thing to think about, isn't it? That's frightening. But it's true. It's true. Satan could use us and sift us as wheat just as easily as he did Peter. It's a frightening thing to think about, but it's something that we need to be warned about. And I tried to do that this morning, to warn us about that, to warn us against religion without Christ, that Christ must be preeminent. He must be all in everything that we do. So we've got to be warned about this. But I also want to remind you about the hope of deliverance that sinners have in the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of salvation that we have in Christ. We need to be warned about religion without Christ, but I want us to close with being reminded about this. Religion with Christ. Oh, religion without Christ. With Christ. Oh, no, that's better, isn't it? That leaves us better. That gives us hope of eternal life, eternal blessing. And this is what we need. This is what we must have. We must have religion with Christ. The preeminent thing that I, as the pastor here of this congregation, try to keep our attention, our focus in every service must be on Christ. Not the goings on of this world, not the things that are going on in this world that are important to our life. That's not our focus. The focus of this congregation, the focus of God's church, is Christ. And we need it. We must have him. Because by nature, we're all possessed of an unclean spirit. Every one of us. we're possessed, we're controlled by an unclean spirit. And that unclean spirit is our own sinful nature. Now let's look at a picture that the Lord gave us. We'll kind of review a little bit here from early in our study in Matthew chapter 12. Let's see the picture of religion with Christ. Let's see the results in a person that is an object of God's grace, who has religion with Christ. Verse 22, Matthew chapter 12. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Now, when you hear that we are all controlled by an unclean spirit, our sinful nature, does that bother you? Does that bother? Does it worry you? Do you see how controlled by sin that you are? If you don't see that you're controlled by sin, tell you what. Try for the next few seconds to not sin. Couldn't do it, could you? Couldn't do it. You know why? It's because we have a nature that is controlled by sin. But take comfort. Just like this poor man that they brought to the Lord, we are controlled by an unclean spirit. But you take comfort. That is exactly who Christ came to save. Christ came to save sinners. People who are completely under the control of this unclean nature, our sin nature. Christ came to save real sinners, the worst of sinners, those who have no hope of escaping their sin. That's who Christ came to save. I know they're under the control of their evil sin nature now, but Christ came to save them. He's going to come and set them free. And the Lord sets His people free from the control of that evil, wicked, unclean, sinful nature by taking control Himself. And He takes control by casting out that nature of the flesh to where it can't control His people anymore. Now, we say that that nature is cast out. The nature is still there. The nature of the flesh is still there. It's just as wicked, it's just as unclean as it ever was. It's unchanged. But now it's not in control anymore. And here's the evidence that it's not in control anymore. When our sin nature is in control, we can't believe Christ. When Christ comes in and He casts that sinful nature out, He casts it down, He takes control, now we can't not believe Christ. That's the evidence that Christ reigns in the heart. We believe Him. Because if we were still under the control of our evil, wicked nature, we could never believe Him. The evidence that Christ has come and now He's taken control is we believe Him. That's the evidence. And when the Lord comes to set His people free, I want you to listen to me now. It's not a titanic struggle. No, sir. The Lord just appears and His people are set free. The Lord just speaks and that unclean spirit has to go. Because the Lord's in control. He rules and He reigns. The Lord Jesus Christ was manifested. This is why He appeared, that He might destroy the works of the devil. And that's exactly what He's done. He's destroyed the works of the devil. He has destroyed the controlling power of our old, unclean, sinful nature to make us not believe Christ anymore. And I tell you how He did it. First of all, He did it at Calvary. At Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished God's promise to Adam and Eve. As they were getting thrust out of the garden, God made a promise. The seed of woman is going to come and crush Satan's head. At Calvary, Christ did it. He crushed Satan's head. The blood of Christ's sacrifice is so powerful, it put Satan out of business. Put him out of business. Now, Satan can never accuse God's people of sin anymore. Because the blood of Christ paid for their sin. The blood of Christ blotted their sin out. The blood of Christ washed them white as snow. The blood of Christ put the sin of God's elect away. So now Satan doesn't have anything that he can use to accuse them of. Nothing. Their sin's gone. He can't accuse. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Well, if his business is being the accuser of the brethren, he can't accuse God's people because of the blood of Christ. Washed them white as snow. The blood of Christ put Satan out of business. Satan cannot control. He cannot deceive God's elect anymore because the blood of Christ purchased their redemption. Lock, stock, and barrel. They belong to God. They belong to Him. He purchased them with the blood of His Son. And He's going to keep them. He's going to keep them. No man can pluck them out of His hand. Now, Satan is a frightening enemy. No question about it. My sin nature is a frightening enemy. My sin and what my sin deserves is a very frightening truth to think about. But our hope, our confidence, our joy is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than every enemy. I don't care how great our enemies are, Christ is greater. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, has conquered Satan. He has put away the sin of His people. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ who will preserve and will protect all of His people. He will not let them go. He will not. His blood, the blood of His sacrifice, put Satan out of business. And here's the second way Christ has put Satan out of business. Made it to where He cannot deceive His people anymore. He's given them a new nature. In the new birth, He's given them a new nature. And that new nature cannot be deceived. Oh, Eve could be deceived. But the new nature that God causes to be born in His people will never be deceived. That new nature will never quit trusting Christ and quit looking to Christ. So Satan has no power over him. By His sacrifice at Calvary, and by the new birth, the Lord Jesus Christ has put Satan out of business to where he cannot touch his people anymore. Now that's religion with Christ. Oh, may God be pleased this morning to cause us to believe Him, to believe Christ. Oh, to have religion with Christ, to believe Him, to love Him, to be taken up with Him. Brothers and sisters, if we're taken up with Christ, if we are just taken up with seeing Him, believing Him, loving Him, resting in Him, what? All will be well. All will be well because we've got religion with Christ. Oh, may God be pleased to cause us to believe Him and to rest in Him. All right. Well, hope the Lord bless that to you. And till the next time, may the Lord be pleased to bless you and to keep you.